You're back listening to 3CR, Green Left Radio. And we are now joined by Mohammed Halmi, who is a longtime Palestinian solidarity activist and a member of the Egyptian community in Melbourne. Good morning, Mohammed.
Good morning, Chloe.
I'll just jump in, Mohammed, and just to give a bit of extra information. One of the reasons that we have Mohammed Halmi on is that Mohammed was part of actually organising a recent protest outside the Egyptian consulate, and also Mohammed will also be speaking on a public forum that's going to be organised by Green Left on Tuesday, the 19th of March at 6:30 p.m. Basically, on this whole topic of Palestine imperialism and the Middle East. So, I guess to start off, Mohammed, what can you tell us to give a bit of background to our listeners? What can you tell us about how the government of Egypt has responded to Israel's ongoing genocide in Palestine?
Good morning to you, Jacob, as well, to your listeners, and thanks for having me. They responded with apathy and complicity to what's happening in Gaza. Now, this may come as a surprise to some listeners, but the current government of Egypt has as strong an interest to end Palestinian resistance as Israel. And I know this might come as a surprise to some, but it is absolute reality. The current regime, for those, just to remind everybody, came to power in Egypt through a military coup in 2014 after having killed thousands of Egyptians on the streets of Cairo, including the well-known Rabia massacre. So for this government, any form of Palestinian resistance would give people in Egypt ideas and would impede Egypt's ability to comply with U.S. demands on their foreign policy. Egypt has actually retained has a two-faceted messaging around the Rafah crossing. Internally, they tell the people that the crossing is opened, and the only reason trucks and people are not able to cross and people not able to go in or out is Israeli bombing. The messaging to the externally from Egypt is, and to the U.S. and Israel particularly, is that the border is under control and that Egypt is maintaining their obligations towards U.S. and Israeli interests, as well as what we keep referring to, the peace treaty that was signed in 1979 that has placed significant obligations on Egypt around that crossing. The protests for Palestine in Egypt are banned completely, with the exception of a single protest that was actually ordered by the president for PR purposes, and people were shortly ordered to disperse once photos were taken by the media. So there is a massive, it's complicit, it's apathetic, there is no real show of, apart from rhetoric, there is no show of real concern for the lives of people in Gaza. Many people have seen footage, for example, of kids at the border, at the fence, asking the Egyptian soldiers for a drink of water. They're begging for a drink of water, and the soldiers are basically not responding to these children across the border, and it's literally meters away from them.
Thanks for that, Mohammed. You recently organised a protest outside the Egyptian consulate for its complicity in Israel's genocide against Gaza. What can you tell us about, just give us a little bit more information on how Egypt has actively managed a siege on Gaza through its control of Gaza's only non-Israeli border passage?
Yeah, so the border between Egypt and Gaza is a 13-kilometer border and has a single border crossing called the Rafah crossing. And this crossing is, as you said, Chloe, is the single land-based gateway for Rafah to the rest of the world. There is no other means. And that places a lot of responsibility on Egypt, humanitarian and legal responsibility. responsibilities, this being the only crossing, a non-Israeli that is, to the rest of the world. On the ground, there is a three-tiered security fence, border fence, which is reported to, which has been strengthened, by the way, recently, during this or after the 7th of October. And it is reported to penetrate underground to a depth of 6 meters to ensure that there is no tunnels are allowed to be constructed that is able to provide anything into Gaza or out of Gaza. So that fence, and that fence is protected by significant military presence on the Egyptian side as well. There is also reports that Egypt, and that's really shameful, and as somebody who is was born in Egypt and still holds an Egyptian citizenship, it's really shameful to say this, but the reports are Egypt is collecting what I can only describe as ransom money from Gazans who are allowed to go into Egypt. They're charging 10,000 Australian dollars per person to allow them to enter Egypt, and charging aid trucks $5,000 a truck to for the limited amount of trucks that are able to get in anyway. They're charging these trucks money to also get into Gaza, and that's quite, that's a very shameful position. You know, there is reports that Egypt has participated in this. In this, what is called the airdropping of aid, and I just can't make any sense of this whatsoever. I mean, you've got an existing crossing. It's very easy for trucks on wheels to cross the crossing and get into Gaza. I have no idea why Egypt would be trying to, you know, participate in these airdrops that are clearly quite dangerous for Gazans, that are reports of people who stuff is dropped on them, and so yeah, so essentially they're maintaining a very, very strong presence on that border. Israel, by the way, are allowed to enter Egypt without pre-log visa on entry, essentially, and that is part of the of that 1979 peace treaty. But Palestinians are not allowed generally to enter Egypt, except with, you know, very limited number of visas and so on.
Yeah, so Mohammed, I think some of your responses have actually prompted a bit of a question for me that I think some of our listeners might also be interested, I guess, in knowing, because, you know, you say that you're not sure, you know, how Egypt can, I guess, kind of justify what it's kind of doing in terms of its response to the to Israel's kind of actions. And I guess I want to kind of hear a bit some of your comments and about what is some of the kind of geopolitical kind of considerations, like how is geopolitics impacting on Egypt's sort of decisions, especially in terms of their relationship with the United States, but also their relationships with other sort of neighboring Middle Eastern countries. Where does kind of Egypt kind of fit with this? And I guess, yeah, what are some of your thoughts and analyses on that?
Okay, so I think Egypt historically, and because of its location and geography, and because of its population, and because of its history and its human resources, is actually quite a key player in the Middle East. It holds two coasts, one on the Mediterranean Sea, one on the Red Sea. It has the Suez Canal, which is one of the most important global crossings in the world. Has a large population of in excess of 100 million people now. And Egypt is, you know, historically and traditionally has been a really strong player in the Middle East. Unfortunately, since the coup in 2014, Egypt's influence in the region has deteriorated significantly. It's done that for, that happened for a number of reasons. One of them is because the current government are not actually supported by the people internally. They don't feel safe internally. And the reason being, as I stated, is because it came through a coup. So they're not able to rely on support internally. Like, for example, you see the support of the people of Gaza for the resistance in Gaza, for example. They don't have the internal support, so they rely entirely on U.S. External support and funding from the U.S. as well as actually from the United Arab Emirates as well as from Saudi to simply survive. Survive politically, but also for the economy to survive, because Egypt is currently going through one of the worst, financial and economic downturn that Egypt has faced in recent history. Huge inflation, products are not available for people, so there is a significant issue. So for them to simply survive, they rely on U.S. to prop them over time. So therefore, Egypt will always simply follow instructions and demands from the U.S. and therefore also from Israel. And they will do so at the expense of what actually people actually want in Egypt. And they manage that through a two-faceted or a two-faced messaging, one external and one for the people of Egypt through their national TV. So that's what I guess what I can say about.
Yeah. Hello, Mohammed. I'm Rob Zocchi, also part of Green Left Radio. I wanted to ask a couple of really quick questions here, because you've outlined what the position of the Egyptian government is. You told us really very bluntly. I'm interested to know, how does Egypt relate to Israel these days? Because it's a really funny relationship. They're supposed to be enemies, and yet it seems that they're very much in collusion. So if you can comment on what is the relationship of Egypt to Israel today? And then another question, yeah, you've made it very clear how difficult, almost impossible it is for the Gazans to get to Egypt. So where do they go? Where do they go? Jordan, Lebanon, or Mediterranean Sea? I mean, it's really a difficult question. So if you have any ideas on that, I'd love to hear them.
I'm not sure which question to tackle first.
Go for the Israel, Egypt and Israel.
Yeah, so I think to tackle that question first, actually, people have asked me that question before. They said, how come we can see on TV that Egyptians burning the Israeli flag, but we see a very friendly relationship between Israel and Egypt? And that's absolutely, that's absolutely exactly the case. The popular position in Egypt is against the Israeli occupation of Palestine, is against the genocide that is happening to Palestinians and the suffering that they've been having since 1948 and prior to 1948. So that's a popular position. The official position currently, particularly of this current government, is very much friendly to Israel. In fact, on national TV, national Egyptian TV, an Israeli government spokesman was interviewed, and he actually said on national TV and that the Egyptian government wants Palestinian resistance to end as much as Israel does. And they also said, he also said on national TV that, and so I'm actually just quoting, that's an Arabic interview. They actually said that Sisi is as much a pro-Zionist as the Israeli government is. It's for a number of reasons this is happening, that friendly relationship. It's really, as we as I mentioned before, it's about, basically making sure that they continue to get support from the U.S., getting IMF funding and so on. But also there is a strong, that strategic link between particularly Hamas in Gaza and the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And that's a really important link to understand. It's an ideological link. And therefore, in Egypt, that's the only opposition really to the current government. The only threat, I guess, if you like, to the current regime. And at the same time, they are ideologically linked with Hamas. So basically, any Egypt does not want to see a Palestinian resistance successful in any shape or form, and therefore they will actually, they have an interest to support Israel in ending the resistance for their, because of their own internal interest as well. And in terms of your second question, where would they go? Well, they shouldn't go anywhere. That's their land.
Yeah.
That is their land. So, and so they shouldn't be going anywhere.
Yeah.
But physically, geographically, the only place they can go, because where Gaza is positioned, is Sinai in Egypt. But that shouldn't happen because, it's their land and it's historical land. It's their homes. It's their history. And I don't think Palestinians want to go anywhere else, not to Egypt, not to anywhere else. If they go, if they ended up in Sinai, they're going to be in refugee camps like we have seen in South Lebanon, and for example, and in Jordan. It's going to be a miserable life for them to go to. So I don't think any Palestinian want to leave the land.
Yeah, thank you for that, because I'm so used to the idea that these Palestinians have to go somewhere. And the most obvious answer is, of course, this is their land. They shouldn't be going anywhere. So thank you so much for that. Just reminded me what I should be saying to people who are protesting with us on the streets.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show, Mohammed. And we're really looking forward to hearing more from you at the Public Forum on Palestine, Imperialism and Resistance in the Middle East, which is on Tuesday, March 19th at 6:30 at the Resistance Centre at level 5407 Swanston Street. So there's going to be a panel discussion on how Palestine is shaping politics in the Middle East. And it's also going to be including, as well as Mohammed Helmi, who you just heard from, including Abbas Sayed, who's a left-wing Iranian activist. But before we wrap up, Mohammed, is there anything else you'd like to let listeners know?
No, I think that's all good. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, comrade. We'll see you soon.
No worries. Thank you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.